Stupid Stuff, a Starkey Atlantis fanfiction by Not Tasha, rated teen.
Read by Tasmi.
Part 1, Runner. What the hell was that? McKay griped as he bent over, resting his hands on his knees as he came to a halt once again. He panted. Janai, Ronan responded as he checked his weapon, his eyes never leaving the foliage behind him. The scientist grimaced and grumbled. Well, of course, I knew that. I mean, it's hard to mistake the military mojo they got going there, but what the hell are they doing here? Ronan shrugged, keeping his attention on everything around them. There is no way that they knew about the power signature, McKay went on. I mean, we were barely able to pick up the signal, and those Calabasans are hardly able to grasp the concept of how to rub two sticks together to make a fire. I hardly think they were behind this. His words came out in a rush as he fought for air. I mean, did you see how they dressed? Hardly better than skins and furs. What do they know about power? I'm just saying. Ronan held up a hand, hoping it had silenced the man. There was no such luck. Oh, McKay snapped his fingers. They got their hands on some of those old wanted posters? That's it. He continued to pant through his ramblings as Ronan narrowed his eyes, watching. Wonder if there's still a reward. Probably not. That was Cohen's idea, right? And there's no more Cohen because, well, nuclear blast. Not much hope of escaping that. But the reward money got blown up with him? Might have hid it elsewhere. Think he paid those people who gave up Major Lauren's team? Maybe Layden made off with it. Think he did? Ronan didn't answer. This was a bad situation. Too far from the gate on a planet that had turned decidedly unfriendly in the blink of an eye, he had to get McKay moving again, get him to safety. And what's up with Layden? Honestly, I don't know what side he's on. Gotta think, though. He's not offering that reward. He doesn't seem like the type. He's sneakier than that. McKay shook his head, wiping the back of one hand across his sweating forehead. McKay made no sense to Ronan. He was a man, gasping for breath, and still unable to stop talking. Still, do the Calabasans know that? They might be thinking they won the lottery or something when they realized that the folks in the posters were showing up on their doorstep. But it was Major Lorne that gave us away. Yeah, his mug was on those posters, too. Quiet, Ronan demanded and gave McKay a shove. Keep moving. Ronnie's face scrunched up as he stumbled for his footing. But we just stopped, he whined. We've been running for miles, and I really need a breather because we have to go. A frown in McKay stated, I don't know if you've ever really looked at me, but I'm not an athlete. And he gestured to himself as if that was explanation enough. This isn't easy for me. Stop talking, Ronan ordered, giving the man another hard push that put him in motion again. Got to get back to the gate. Great idea, McKay snapped as he struggled onward. Get to the gate and avoid getting shot. You should add that, because getting shot really is not on my to-do list for the day. Ronan grunted and jabbed the man onward as he looked over his shoulder, searching for their pursuers. It had started off as an easy enough mission. The Calabasans had been pleasant people, known by both Tayla and Ronan. Major Lauren's team had scouted the place, had found odd power readings, and they hadn't been able to track down the source. After working on it for the better part of a day, they'd returned to Atlantis. 3 days later, Shepard's team had been sent to check it out. McKay had this freakish ability to pinpoint the exact location of nearly impossible-to-find power sources, so he'd immediately set on that task. Lauren had also mentioned the possibility of getting their hands on an ancient scroll of some sort, so the team had split to investigate both possibilities at once. Looking back, Ronan realized dividing the team had been short-sighted. Stupid. He had lost out in the arrangement, getting paired up with McKay. All things considered, Ronan preferred to be with Tayla in these situations, but Shepard had wanted someone familiar with the planet on each team. Tayla was better at handling the technical aspects, better at handling McKay. It would have made more sense to tag her with McKay. Ronan would have gone with Shepard. It would have made sense. But attaining the scroll, apparently, needed a little negotiating, and there was only one person in their band capable of that task. The colonel wanted some muscle to back the insistent physicist. McKay did tend to draw unfortunate results from the people he confronted. He might be a genius, but McKay could be foolish at times. Ronan was just following orders and did as he was told. He was here to protect the civilian. He would perform that task and let no harm come to McKay. He just hoped he wasn't expected to help the scientist with any of the technical devices that they might encounter, because every one of them should have realized he wasn't cut out for that sort of thing. It made him uncomfortable being around McKay when he was in full genius mode. It made Ronan feel stupid. Luckily, McKay had expected nothing out of Ronan besides guard duty. Fine. The less talk involved, the better. McKay had been hot on the trail of this particular power reading, naysaying all the way. Probably nothing more than a transistor radio or a crockpot that has been left on too long. Of course, I can't believe these people capable of creating either of those things, so, well, its mere existence may prove to be significant. And they found a pile of rubble that looked like a pile of rubble, but for some reason McKay got excited about it. Ronan stood watch as McKay fiddled. It was dull work, but Ronan passed the time by remaining vigilant, acting as if trouble were just around the corner, as if something horrible should be expected at any moment. It kept him interested. So when everything got turned over and the Genii spilled into the compound, he was ready. He'd been able to manhandle the scientist over a wall and radio Shepard and Taylor as he made their escape plan unusable to the pursuers. They put distance between them, assured by Taylor and Shepard that they were doing the same. Shepard told him to keep off the radio, because the Genii had access to their communication devices in the past and were probably quite capable of listening in. The last thing the colonel said was, "Get back to the gate." They ran. They ran and ran, but not quickly enough. It wouldn't be so frustrating if McKay didn't pause so often, gasping like a fish out of water, sweating like he was sweltering. Alone, Ronan could have covered the distance. Or better yet, alone, Ronan could have fallen back to lie in wait and take the Genii as they came past him. Alone, he would have done everything he could to destroy the pursuers and then escape. He was more than capable. But he wasn't alone. "Keep moving," Ronan barked as McKay flagged again. "I am," McKay shot back. "I can only run so fast, okay?" Ronan had already stripped the scientist of his pack, slinging it over his own shoulder when the scientist squawked about the value of what was carried there. McKay was rather like a child. He hadn't lived all his life with the terror of the Wraith, hadn't lived for years as a runner. Ronan couldn't fault him for his easy life. He couldn't even envy it. Life without peril was alien to him, as alien as this entire galaxy was to these people. The military understood life or death situations. The scientists, on the other hand, were soft. They struggled, and even when running for their lives, they went about it like uninitiated tykes. Ronan knew that they were still pursued. He managed to outfox the Genii once or twice, flummoxing their attempts to follow. But the Genii kept moving, kept coming. The gate was far, and they were moving too slowly. "Hang on, hang on," McKay gasped, coming to another halt. Oh, God, hang on, I got a stitch. "Move, McKay," Ronan ordered, even though McKay looked as if he was about to faint, flushed and panting, almost shaking with fatigue. Might be better off if he did pass out, Ronan figured. That way he could just pick up the scientist and carry him the rest of the way over his shoulder. And he grimaced, not appreciating the idea of having to tote the man for so far. "We're miles ahead of them. They're probably just behind us," McKay sighed expansively. "Give me a second," he grimaced as he clutched his side. "We don't have a second." McKay crouched, his head low, one hand on his knee, the other at his side. He looked about ready to vomit. "Just a second, okay? Christ, just one second." He didn't see what was coming. Ronan did. The former runner heard the quiet squeak. He turned in the direction they were headed and saw the glint, the shape of a weapon, a form hiding behind a tree waiting for them. The shape was too ensconced in the foliage. Too many branches blocked a clear shot at him. Ronan charted where the weapon was aimed, knowing its course, its target, and seeing the only way to confound it. He jumped, knocking McKay to the ground. He heard the shot, felt it explode into his side. He stumbled, falling fully into McKay, and they tumbled to the ground in a heap. Pain. shock. He fought them off as he rolled, needing to get to his feet again. What? What happened? Hey! McKay was shouting, trying to get himself untangled from the big Satidan. Ronan moved into a crouch, unable to fully stand. Weapon in hand, he made out the shape again. A face gazed at him from behind a tree. A weapon lifted, obscuring the blank expression that the Janai aimed. Ronan aimed faster. He heard the whine of his weapon, the scream of it discharging, a strangely wet-sounding impact, the shattering of tree bark, and the quiet thud of the victim's body hitting the ferny ground. And then all was quiet, except for the terrified panting of McKay. Good, Ronan thought, smiling slightly. Got him. He tried to straighten, but his body shrieked against the attempt. Ronan? Let's go, Ronan ordered, reaching down to yank McKay to his feet. Wait, you've been hit. Do you know you've been hit? McKay scrabbled up on hands and knees. Oh God, it doesn't look good. There's blood. Someone should do something about it, he babbled. Where's Beckett when you need him? He muttered as he got to his feet, because we really could use him right now. Get moving before more of them come, Ronan tried not to wince. He tried to force back the pain that assaulted him. Now, it was even more urgent that they get moving. How could he protect McKay if he had a hole in his side? Oh God, that's gotta hurt. You have to take care of that. No time, Ronan hissed, grasping his side as the pain grew. He cursed McKay for bringing it up. Mentioning pain only made it worse. He couldn't let it get the better of him, not when he still had this responsibility. McKay was beside him now, his face white with worry. That's not good, he said again. We need to do something about it. He patted at his pockets, bringing out a handful of emergency dressings, scattering a few on the ground. I'm not so good at this sort of thing. Really, I'm one of the very worst people you want, but if you just hold still a moment, I'll do what I can, okay? Just, can you lift your shirt or something, and I'll... Get moving, Ronan shouted, grasping hold of Rodney's outstretched arm and wrenching it about as he drove the man forward. Ow! Ow! Hey! No need to be violent, McKay groused as he stumbled. I'm just trying to help, that's all. Try staying alive instead, Dex growled, pushing McKay forward as they continued their path. Ronan groaned, clutching at the bleeding wound. It hurt, but he would not let it overcome him. He had a responsibility to perform, and he would not fail. They ran. McKay half-turned, looking at the Satidan in concern, so Ronan grabbed hold of the scientist by the shoulder and propelled him onward. Ow! You don't have to do that! Don't slow down, he ordered. They were in trouble. Big trouble. They were too far from the gate, and he'd been hit. It was only a matter of time, and he'd go down. He was determined to make the best of the time he had left. He wouldn't fail. He'd get McKay safely back to the gate. If he could just get Rodney back unscathed, if he could just manage that, then he could proudly go out of this life. So he ran, shoving McKay all the way. He would not let the man stop again, no matter how many times McKay tried to twist out of his grasp. Ronan kept seeing that worried face turned toward him, obviously concerned about his own safety. McKay was yammering about something, saying that they needed to stop to take care of something, but there would be no stopping. Ronan would not quit until the responsibility was fulfilled, until he'd gotten McKay home. He ran. More than once, he found himself half falling onto the scientist, aggravating the hell out of the Satidan. As if he didn't have enough problems, McKay seemed to be getting clumsier by the moment. They were about to take a tumble. Ronan had to put more pressure on the scientist, more weight, just to keep McKay moving forward. They weren't going to make it. And what would happen? Would McKay even know how to get back to the gate from here after he failed? McKay was too green, too unsure of the field. McKay would probably freak out. Failure was not an option. They had to keep moving. But it wasn't fast enough. He growled through his teeth, "Too slow. Go faster or we're going to die." It was Shepard's theory that threat of death always spurred the recalcitrant physicist to greater speed. Fine. Faster. Don't slow down. If they catch us, we're dead, he barked at the scientist just above the man's ear. We'll both be dead. Do you hear me? How could I not? McKay snapped back. Why was McKay so slow? Ronan needed to keep urging on the man with each passing moment. He had to press more weight to move McKay along. You're going to get us both killed, he growled, hoping the threat would be enough to keep McKay moving. You want that? What? No, no, I... Stop talking. Don't waste your breath. McKay gasped as he stumbled onward. He kept quiet after that, concentrating on moving. Ronan kept one hand on his shoulder, a hand that soon became an arm, and half his body, just to keep McKay moving onward, to keep the scientist going forward. But they were moving slower. They went down to their knees, and McKay struggled to gain his feet again. Ronan never released his hold on the man, tugging and yanking at him all the way. Why did they let these weak scientists into the field? Run! Do you want us to die here? Ronan gasped. Out once they were upright, and they moved forward again. Beneath his arm, McKay huffed and struggled. Ronan would use his last breath to complete this obligation. He would use every last ounce of his strength to fulfill this responsibility. McKay would be returned to Atlantis. That was Ronan's pledge. But it was getting dark. The trees seemed to close in around him, and he pressed even harder. Running was becoming an unconscious activity. He moved. He would keep moving. They were in trouble. They were in big trouble. This was stupid, Ronan realized. Stupid stuff, and he was going to fail. They were so far from... Ronan? McKay? What the hell? Shepard? Ronan tried to jerk his head upward, but the world seemed to tilt around him. Somehow they had reached the gate. Taylor was dialing the DHD. Shepard was beside him, his face taut as he grasped hold of his arm. Good, Ronan muttered, smiling slightly at his commander. He'd managed it. He'd completed the task set to him. Atlantis would keep its biggest brain. Everything was fine. Dex let out a sigh as the wormhole engaged. Hardly able to focus, he released his grasp of the worried-looking scientist. He smiled again, a quirk of the lips, and wanted to tell McKay that he could relax now. But he let Shepard take over that responsibility.
Part 2. Patient. He woke up with a start, opening his eyes and taking in his surroundings. Scents, sounds, sights assailed him as he quickly figured out his surroundings. The infirmary. He'd never been so happy to see it. They'd made it back to Atlantis. Ronan allowed himself that victory and he took inventory of himself. His side ached, but dulled with the numbness that comes with the wonders of their medicine. He felt tired, enormously tired, but he was alive. Good. It felt good to realize that. He'd struggled against the odds and he'd succeeded in spite of everything stacked against him. Ronan Dex had brought Dr. McKay safely home. Good. Yeah, that was good. As he blinked and brought his eyes into focus, Ronan frowned. McKay was in the bed beside him. McKay was unmoving, his mouth slightly open, his eyes closed, utterly still. What? Why? And in the aisle between the beds was Shepard. Ronan turned toward the colonel, seeing how he leaned far back in his chair, using McKay's bed to support his back. Legs were propped on his own bed. Lazily, the colonel flipped cards into a kidney-shaped bowl near his feet. Morning, Shepard drawled without looking up from his game. Mph, Ronan got out, bringing up one heavy hand to rub his face. Yeah, that's what I said, Shepard returned, continuing to lazily loft cards into the bowl. How you feeling? McKay? Ronan asked, lifting his gaze to the other patient. He didn't remember any harm coming to the scientist. He'd done everything he could to keep that from happening. Had McKay been hurt in spite of him? He all right? He's feeling no pain right now, Shepard said with a strange smile. Taylor's fine too, he added before Ronan could ask. Sucks that we didn't come back with a new power source or some nifty new scrolls, but we all came home. What happened? You just about died, Shepard told him. Came pretty damn close. Yeah, Ronan replied, bringing one hand down to his side to press it against his bandaged side. A dull pain radiated there. Beckett sewed you up, John explained. Ronan nodded numbly. He does good work. Saved my life, huh? That he did. You had a pretty good hole in you. He nodded to Ronan. I understand you got it by keeping McKay from getting hit. Ronan met Shepard's gaze. What happened to him? He asked in a hush. I got him home. Didn't know he was hurt. Smiling, Shepard explained. Well, you were pretty out of it by the time you guys made it to the gate. Shepard sailed another card. Got to thank you for what you did. I had to, Ronan responded fiercely. It takes a brave man to jump in front of a bullet. You saved him. Yeah, got him home. Not so much, Shepard returned, smiling slight, proudly. He's the reason you're here now. How's that? He carried your sorry ass to the gate? Ronan frowned, puzzling. John continued. He had you mostly on his back and was dragging you when he got to us. Don't know how far, but by the looks of him and you, I'm betting it wasn't a short distance. Ronan listened, dumbfounded. He found his way to the gate without help? He's got this freakish sense of direction, Shepard responded, as if he couldn't quite comprehend that ability. I kept him going, pushed him the whole way. Dex lifted a hand in pantomime of his action. Another chuckle, and Shepard said, Well, you probably kept your feet longer than any of the rest of us could have managed, but by the time you got to the gate, McKay was the one doing the heavy lifting. Ronan withdrew the hand, clenching it into a fist as he tried to remember. Someone stumbled. Someone fell. Someone needed help to just keep moving. And his face grew long in realization. He carried me? No mean feat. He got hurt on the way, Ronan asked quietly. With a wry laugh, Shepard stated, After they got you settled here, Rodney kept coming in, complaining to Carson about his back. He smiled. Carson's used to his complaining, but I'm sure Rodney felt like hell. Not speaking, Ronan tilted his head, gazing sidelong at Rodney. Shepard kept speaking, his tone light, but a sense of concern edged his words. Carson finally had enough of Rodney and dosed him with something, John chucked. It was kind of amusing to see him go down. The man tends to babble when he's off his gourd. Perhaps expecting a chuckle from the Satidan, Shepard looked surprised to see only a somber expression. You okay, Ronan? Shepard asked, bringing all four legs of his chair to the floor. He straightened the cards in his hands as he asked, You want me to get someone? Ronan shook his head, not sure what he wanted. He glanced to McKay. The scientist slept, looking peaceful as a babe, looking hardly capable of toting one large Satidan through miles of Calabasan woodlands. Dex was supposed to be the one watching out, protecting. He wasn't supposed to be the one needing help. I could have gotten him killed, Ronan finally said hollowly. With a jerk of the shoulders, Shepard said, Yeah, but you didn't. He shouldn't have. We don't leave people behind, Ronan, Shepard stated. He reached around one hand and gave McKay a thump on the leg, and seemed amused to get only a quiet and happy-sounding warble out of the man. He's made of tougher stuff than you think. Ronan could only nod in response.
Part 3. Genius. Ronan remained in the infirmary until Beckett released him. The Satidan was too smart to disregard the doctor's orders and had too much respect for the doctor. Beckett knew enough about the former runner to keep him for only the minimal advisable time period. The relationship worked well between them. His team had the habit of taking shifts in the infirmary until their injured teammate awoke, but they had the common sense to wander elsewhere once the danger was gone. Shepard and Taylor had stopped by Ronan's bed several times during his infirmity, just to talk for a few moments and then discreetly leave. He tired too easily, and they knew enough to leave before he embarrassed himself by falling asleep during their visit. McKay, having been released after his medication worn off, had been absent since then. Well, that wasn't entirely true. Beckett had told Ronan that the scientist had been by several times, still complaining about his back, but always managing to pay his visits when Ronan was asleep. Ronan didn't know whether McKay was just lucky or if the visits were paid with careful timing. All in all, Ronan was glad to be out of that place of sickness and on his own again,
even if he had been ordered to return to his room and take it easy. But he'd had enough of sick beds and stillness, and even though his side still ached, he had something he needed to do, and it would wait no longer. Dex moved gingerly down the dim hallways, feeling the odd tug at his side where Beckett had skillfully stitched him back together. His destination came into view fairly quickly, one of the large labs. His target was here. He'd been assured so by one of the scientists that had been scuttling down the hallways. As the doorway opened into another hallway, he wondered about McKay. He couldn't quite grasp what drove the man. McKay seemed soft and weak, yet he worked himself to exhaustion nearly every day. It took something strong to manage that, didn't it? It was late. The labs were otherwise empty, but as Ronan quietly trod through the hall, he could see one lit room on the far side of the complex. He moved toward it. He paused, standing in the doorway, and observed the man a moment. McKay, stupidly oblivious to his presence, was leaning against a counter. His eyes were closed as he hunched over some strange object. He stretched his shoulders, first one and then another, his face drawn with pain. Ronan realized that McKay wasn't all bluster. His complaints weren't only to draw attention. Here, alone, there was no point to theatrics, and Ronan Dex caused the injury. McKay never should have had to take on the responsibility of hauling him home. After all, Ronan was the muscle and McKay was supposed to be the brain. Ronan let out a soft sigh. McKay's head shot up as he stared at the figure in the doorway. "Who's there?" he demanded. Realizing that he was in shadow, Ronan quickly stated, "It's me," as he moved forward into the light of the lab. "Oh," McKay responded, looking relieved. "Great." His expression changed to alarm again. "What's wrong? Something wrong?" "No, nothing." "Oh, okay." Puzzlement was the new expression. Ronan wondered if McKay had any idea how readable he was. "So why are you here? I mean, aside from the fact that you should probably be in bed, aren't you the guy who usually hits the sack early? You know, early bird and worm and all that?" Ronan didn't even try to understand the comments. "Meds got me all messed up," he explained, wishing he'd taken a little of the pain medication that Beckett had given him. His perforated side was starting to make its presence known. "Been sleeping all day, anyway." "Oh yeah, of course," McKay waved a hand. "But again, I ask, why are you here?" He gestured toward the ancient device that he'd been fussing over. "This isn't exactly the sort of excitement you usually seek out, is it?" "No," Ronan admitted. He grimaced slightly as the wound increased its ache. Beckett was right. He should have stayed in bed. He really should sit down. Ronan lurched forward into the room and was surprised by the latest look that crossed McKay's face. He looked scared. Was McKay frightened of him now? Well, after the abuse he'd laid on the man, was it any wonder? Instead of shirking backward, McKay grabbed a lab chair from beside the counter and slung it around, slamming it down in front of the former runner. "Would you sit down before you get yourself killed for real?" With a grimace, Ronan sat, mortified by his weakness. McKay went on, "'Cause I don't really think I'd be able to get you up again if you went down." He rubbed one hand absently at the small of his back. "I've taken all of the Dex toting I can handle." "Yeah," Ronan said softly. Well, wasn't supposed to happen like that." He looked away, stating, "You shouldn't have had to carry me back to the gate." McKay scowled and snapped out, "You got that right." Ronan paused a moment, surprised at the outburst, but it was completely understandable, he decided, and justifiable. Ronan continued, "I know. I'm the one who's supposed to be watching out for you, not the other way around." He paused slightly, then tried to say, "I was only yelling at you because that's what Shepard does." "What? And that gives you free rein to jump all over me?" "You should have left." "I should have left you?" Rodney echoed sharply. Ronan didn't nod. "It was my responsibility to see that you returned safely. I should have figured out that I wouldn't be able to make it to the gate. I should have sent you on without me." McKay looked furious. "What do you mean? We did make it to the gate." "You could have been captured or killed," Ronan responded. "You should have left me. You're too important." Turning about, McKay stormed toward the counter, slapping one hand down on the surface, making a sharp sound. "Don't," he bit out. Don't start that. Ronan could understand McKay's anger. It didn't take a genius to figure out that McKay had ended up with a bad deal, having to tote the muscle home. He opened his mouth to speak, but McKay cut him off, his face red, spouting. Too important? How dare you say that? You stupid ape! Crinkling his brow at the moniker, Ronan recalled something about large primates. It seemed a bit harsh, but it was deserved. McKay went on, his voice crackling with rage. Jumping in front of a bullet? That's like the worst movie cliche ever. What the hell were you thinking? Ronan sat back, surprised. Trying to save your life? He tried. You ever try shouting, get down? Because I have to tell you, I'm pretty good at hitting the ground. Wasn't time for it, Ronan told him. And jumping around like a lunatic is faster than just shouting, duck? McKay scowled. You figured getting killed was a good solution, huh? I was just trying to get you out of the way. Yeah, by jumping in front of a projectile designed to tear holes in your body and kill you. I was trying to save your life? By taking the bullet? McKay's anger seemed to draw back a bit, replaced with something else. You wouldn't even let me try to bandage it. There wasn't time. It was stupid. You could have died, could have bled to death. Do you know how close you were to dying? Do you have any idea how scared I was? I had to do it. What? Trade your life for mine? Is that what you were doing? Ronan regarded the scientist a moment, seeing the distress written all over his face. Finally, he said, "You're too valuable to Atlantis." McKay's face twisted again as he spat out, "And you're not? You're the genius? Me, I'm just one of the boneheads." Ronan used a phrase he'd heard bandied around Atlantis. McKay turned again. He looked strangely hurt by Ronan's comment. "No," he said softly. "I'm not the important one," Ronan went on. "Sacrifices must be made to save those that are worth more." Now that was a boneheaded remark, McKay sniped, gesturing wildly. Don't even try to convince me of that. I can't stand it. I just can't stand that anymore. Ronan was silent, watching McKay as the physicist leaned on the counter and lowered his head. Ronnie whispered, "Why do people keep doing that to me?" His voice caught for a moment, and then he went on. "Why do they do that? I mean, Griffin knew he was going to die, and he just shut that door to save me. It must have been a horrible when the water..." He stopped, blinking his eyes, then restarted with, "He made a ridiculous decision. Don't you see how absurd that was?" "Maybe he..." Ronan tried. McKay kept talking. "People are always dying around me. They just keep dying. Gaul, good God, he killed himself so that I could help Shepard, right in front of me, just shot himself to save me." McKay's voice was soft, disbelieving. His eyes became distant in the memory. "And Abrams, and Dumais, and Peterson, and Wagner, and Johnson, and Hayes, and Lindstrom, and Collins. God, I'm sorry about that. And Grodin, I should have been where he was." He paused, swallowed, and then added, "So many others. People just keep dying." Ronan said nothing. He'd seen plenty of death, but he was a soldier. He was supposed to see death, wasn't he? It was never easy, though. Never. "No more dying," McKay grumbled. "I'm sick of it. I won't have it out of you." He turned again, moving away from the counter. "Next time, just say get down. I get down really quickly." "Okay," Ronan responded stiffly. "No more throwing yourself in front of the bullet because that really sucks." "Okay," Ronan said again, the phrase something he never had spoken before he'd been in Atlantis. "And no more talk about leaving you behind," McKay declared. "You know how the Colonel is about that. He has this fantastic ideal about not leaving people." He was leaning on the counter again, obviously still feeling the pain in his back. And it's not as if you're still running. You have people around you that actually give a damn about what happens to you. Taylor and the Colonel. Becca even.
Sorry, Ronan said, nodding when Rodney looked at him. About your back, he concluded.
Yeah, well, McKay replied. Could have been worse. I mean, it stopped hurting for the most part. Just when I get tired, it acts up.
Yeah, Ronan responded, and for a moment they said nothing.
So we got this straight? McKay finally said. You're not going to get yourself killed because of me, right? You're not going to purposely go kamikaze to save me, because that's just ludicrous. Stupid.
Ronan remembered how McKay had risked his life to save Cadman, how he came to Satita in spite of his injury. He remembered hearing how McKay had drowned, sacrificed his life in an alternative universe in a hopeless attempt to save the others. He'd heard of the incident with Energy Beasts, and then there was the business with the overdose of Wraith Enzyme. Stupid and risky choices meant only to ensure the safety of others.
When Ronan didn't answer, McKay raised his head and said, "No more stupid moves, okay?"
Yeah, Ronan responded.
Is that a promise? McKay asked, sounding hopeful. I mean, you can protect me all you want, but no more of the stupid stuff, right?
No stupid stuff, Ronan agreed.
Great, McKay straightened slowly. I'm going to bed, he declared. He winced, moving his shoulders. Beckett gave me some pills that'd help with the, you know. He grimaced again. Said it'd knock me out, though. I should be going back, too, Ronan stated, standing with some difficulty. I think he gave me the same stuff.
Ronnie gestured to the door, and they both hobbled their way out. They moved side by side down the hallway, and Ronan glanced toward the scientist as Ronnie staggered along. Shepard had said that Ronnie was made of tough stuff. Ronan realized that now, even as the scientist made pathetic whimpering sounds as he moved. Ronan chuckled at a particularly wretched noise from McKay. Ronan glared at him in return.
What? McKay snarled.
You're grumpy when you're in pain.
Oh, don't start with that, Rodney grumbled shrewishly. You were one hell of a good time when I was hauling you back to the gate, an endless barrel of laughs, all daffodils and sunshine.
Ronan laughed again, stopping short as his side shot through with pain. The grunt of discomfort got a smug smile out of McKay.
Yeah, they'd made an agreement. No more stupid stuff. But that didn't mean Ronan would keep his end of the deal. Sometimes he just couldn't help being stupid for certain things. The end.